Do scents evoke memories and transport you back to being on the beach during your favorite vacation? I know they do for me. Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil smells like summer or the beach in Aruba, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the elevated scent. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft. It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow, like you just returned from a tropical getaway. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. I love Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I use it every single day and I have for so many years. It makes me feel silky smooth and just glowing. This body oil is rich but never greasy and clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It visibly firms your skin, leaving you more sculpted and toned. No wonder I feel so great after using it. But it gets even better. With Osea, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Osea's products are clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. They are a women-founded company that has been making seaweed-infused skincare for over 28 years. So bring on summer. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care at Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Hello, 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 my darlings. How are you? Happy Friday. If you're listening to this show on a Friday, it's time for a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. And I just want to make a little note as I start off this show that it's April 7th. Okay, April 7th. Which to me, like Western Hemisphere, like generally feels like it should be spring, right? Shouldn't it be spring? Yet, somehow, for some reason, I'm sitting here in my podcast chair, cuddled up, wearing thick knitted socks, a really like fluffy, cozy sweater, and I'm looking out at the view and it's snowing. I mean, it's not just snowing, it's dumping. Like it's totally snowing. And it's been snowing on and off all week. I'm a little bit in shock. It's like I know this is Sweden and all of my friends, literally all of my friends, the moment I got excited about spring and I saw the first signs of spring or first little spring flowers like wood anemones. Oh my God, I feel like Nemo in Finding Nemo. Wood anemones, that's what they're called in Swedish. Blåsippor, I think that's what they're called. Or wait, is that vitsippor? I learned, by the way, from Googling, because I do this all the time, whenever I want to identify a plant, I want to translate it so I know the name in English, because most of the plants here I know just in Swedish from growing up here. I don't know them in English. And by Googling this stuff and researching, I learned that blåsippa and vitsippa, which is, I always thought was the same kind of flower. It's like two of the earliest flowers that we see here in Sweden. One is blue, one is white, and you find them everywhere out in nature and in the forest. And it's like really the first sign of like spring and life. And they have the same name, except one is white and one is blue. They are actually two different kinds of species. I did not know this. I learned so much just by translating stuff into English. But anyway, I've seen these flowers. I've found a bunch of flowers. There's daffodils blooming and blåsippor, these blue, cute little flowers everywhere. I've seen little snowdrops, this other kind of flower. The magnolia tree out here, it's like budding really beautifully. And there's like tiny, like there was signs of life everywhere. The week before last, it was over 20 degrees. Like it was, you could sit on the patio in a t-shirt, like feeling like you're tanning. Like I felt like you had to wear sunglasses because it's so bright outside. I felt like I'm gonna burn out here. It's so intense. And all of my friends told me this, like, don't ropa inte hej än, which means there's a Swedish saying. It's basically like you're not supposed to say you made it until you've crossed the river safely. Like it's like don't don't celebrate too early, right? Because it's gonna get cold again. And I'm like, no, it's springtime, it's warm, it's beautiful. I got really excited. I bought all sorts of spring flowers at the plant store, planted them really beautifully outside. Like I want this little, like I want the entrance of our house to be this green, flowery place. And it really isn't. Like it's kind of depressing, the front of our house. Yeah, because we moved here in the dead of winter. We haven't been able to really do anything. And yeah, my flowers are dead. Okay. My flowers are dead. Not all of them, just some of them. Not all the way. Like I had a couple of days where I left them out and it got below freezing. And some of them can take like right below freezing, but then it was like minus 10 degrees in the middle of the night. And I left them out there and I was like, oh no, oh no. So I had a couple of days when I was like moving them out in the day and then taking them in at night. And it really messed up my back because these pots are just super huge and heavy. And then I left them out for the coldest night. I just forgot, like in the evening. And they all looked really like I've done them in. And now they're all indoors. They've been indoors for a week. And I think they are going to recuperate. Like it looks like they might. But anyway, and now it's snowing and it's really been snowing all week. And I feel like spring is never happening. And I don't know if this is the point. Someone told me like this is the point of April to get your hopes up. And then your hopes and dreams just get completely crushed because it starts snowing again. And then that's going to happen like a couple times. It's going to get warm and then it's going to get cold again. And you're going to think spring is here. And then winter comes back with a vengeance. And all of that is to say that when spring finally comes, and it actually gets warm and the sun actually comes out, we are so grateful, right? We don't take the warmth and the springtime for granted. Like it really is this radical energetic shift. And I mean, I am Swedish. I'm born and raised in this country. I've spent more than half my life. Have I? How old am I? If I left here when I was 18, 19. Yes, I have spent more than half my life, I guess, 19 years in Sweden and then 15 years abroad, right? Or 14 years abroad. I'm only 33. I gotta slow down here. So you would think that I would just remember, right? Or that I would know that this is what life in Sweden is like. No, I have completely blocked out and forgotten all about what this is like. And I'm at a point right now where just, man, the winter is long here. I feel like the winter is at least a month too long. If it was a month shorter, that's right where you get to the edge of like, okay, this is how much darkness and cold weather I can really manage. And then the last month, it's just like, I feel like I'm really hanging on. And this is why people generally, I mean, people who can afford it, do go on vacations and go to the sun, especially like February kind of. Either you go on a ski vacation so you really get to enjoy the snow and hopefully have good weather so you get some sunshine along with the snow. Or people go to like Spain or Italy or Greece or somewhere that isn't so far from here. But, and of course, we haven't done that. We've been so excited to be here. Someone even asked, like, you're not going to escape the winter even like a little bit? And I'm like, I've been escaping the winter for 14 years. I don't need to escape the winter. I love it. I'm the ice queen. I'm cold plunging. I'm basically a Viking. Like I'm getting totally like aligned with my ancestry. Like who needs to escape? The winter is awesome. And now, okay, just so everyone's aware, April 7th is the day where where my illusions were shattered. And I'm like, I am done with the winter. I get it now. I get it now. I get it now. I'm done. But yeah, so I'm just looking out at this total snowstorm. It's just such a trip.
Sometimes in life, skepticism can serve you well. It can save you money, keep you from wasting a day at a timeshare presentation, and help you avoid spreading gossip. To be honest, when I am faced with a new scenario, I usually tend to be a skeptic until something proves me wrong. And if you're like me, you can probably spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away and read labels like it's your job. That's where Ritual comes in. They know that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds your standards. Their clinically backed Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin has high quality, traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. Take two delayed release capsules per day that optimize your body's absorption, and you'll get 9 key nutrients. Rituals Essential for Women is USP verified, so you know you can trust what you're putting in your body. Only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark, which shows the product contains the ingredients actually listed on the label. On top of that, Ritual multivitamins are vegan, non-GMO project verified, gluten and major allergen free, certified B Corp, and made traceable. I take my vitamins every morning with breakfast. It's part of my daily ritual, and I feel so good doing it. No more shady business. Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off.
I don't know who was talking to me about this, but I think our perception of geography, our perception of the world and like how north or south places are, for me anyway, it's been very off. I'm not great at geography overall. I remember when I went to school, I don't know what age, like I had a time in my life where I was really into learning all the maps. Like I wanted to know all the world maps. I wanted to know all the capitals and countries, but it was not really like, that's not the same as understanding geography, right? That's just memorizing stuff. Like I used to be really good at memorizing things. My brother was one of those people who like, he knew every capital of every country. Like you can ask him any country and he just can tell you that capital. I mean, like he just knows. But that's not, I mean, for me, geography, it's like, it connects, of course, to like our perception of the world and our sense of location. And I am just one of those people, I can just drive somewhere and I have no idea which direction is home. I don't know, who else is like that? Like I just have no sense of direction in my body. Dennis has great sense of direction. Like we can really go anywhere. He can drive somewhere he's never been and just be totally focused on what he's doing. And then we get someplace and he's like, yeah, well, I mean, and he can just point in a general direction and he will know home is that way, north is that way, south is that way. Unless I have a body of water close by that I know. Literally living in Aruba, that's the only way I knew what was north and what was south. Because I knew if I'm on the southwest coast of the island, like if I go left, I'm going south. Like I knew that if I go right, I'm going north. And here, you know, same with, we live by a lake. I know Stockholm is south of us. So if I'm looking at the lake, south is left. If I'm looking at the lake, north is right-ish, depending on like, of course, how I'm positioned. But that is the only way I know where I'm at. And I have the same kind of general feeling around geography and the world, even though I am very well traveled. I've been a billion places. Like I've traveled my whole life. I come from a family of travelers. Like since I was little, we've traveled and traveled. I still have no sense of where I am. Okay. And this became really evident this week when I learned, and this might surprise you too. Okay, so for instance, I've been really, I don't know who I had this conversation with. Oh, it was when I was in LA, we were talking about this. And then I picked up the conversation with Dennis when I came home because I was so surprised. Just having spent a lot of time in the US, for example, I have these ideas of what is north and what is south, right? So for me, when I think of Northern California, or I think of Oregon, I think of Washington State, like that's north, right? That's just what it feels like to me. It feels like that's north. And when you look at the latitudes of the earth, like what line of latitude cities actually are, did you know that Toronto, for example, lines up with the south of France? Like I am shocked to find out. Toronto, Canada, which in my head is like a cold place because it's Canada, right? Lines up with like Nice, like in the south of France. Chicago, which I had this idea that it's like I know the winters are crazy cold in Chicago. It's like the coldest place in the world. Chicago is on the same latitude as Rome in Italy. And from a Swedish perspective, like, Italy is south. Italy is warm. Italy is like, you grow tomatoes all year round. What? New York lines up with Madrid, for instance. I didn't know that. San Francisco lines up with Greece, which blows my mind. And guess what Los Angeles lines up with? Los Angeles is on the same latitude as Morocco. Morocco! That's Africa. That's so far south from Sweden. And I'm just, the more I've learned about this, I'm just realizing my perception of the world and where things are is so off. Like, I should be embarrassed by this, but I'm not, because I'm learning. So Stockholm, for anyone who's interested, which is, by the way, south of Sweden. There's way more of Sweden up north of Stockholm than there is south of Stockholm. Stockholm lines up, or Stockholm is on the same latitude as Alaska. So if you're thinking Stockholm, you can think Alaska. Like, it lines up with, I think it's Manitoba in Canada. I don't know, a place called Churchill, wherever that is. But like way north, north of the northest parts of Canada. Like, that's the same latitude as Stockholm. Obviously, there's a bunch of things that determine weather. Like, it's not just the latitude you're on, but just the way my perception of the world has been, as in thinking of what is south, like what countries exist south of me. I have just been way, 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 way off. And learning that, like, Stockholm lines up with Alaska somehow has helped me gain a little bit more acceptance of the fact that I probably won't be planting out any of my plant babies until, like, I don't know, late May, maybe? I don't know, maybe it's June if it's not. I really don't know. And speaking of plant babies, I love the direction this podcast took. By the way, this is what's on my mind right now. I have a lot of things to talk about, but we're going to talk world geography today and gardening. I have started planting out things in the garage. I don't know. Have I shared this on the podcast? Maybe I haven't. And this is like a really exciting thing for me to share. So you all know, I mean, everyone who listens to this show, if you are a longtime listener at least, you know that my dream is to become self-sustaining. And all I want to do is grow my own food. It's all I want to do. I had a friend come over this weekend. Dennis was north of Sweden in Åre, which isn't even that north, but that's north, way north. Again, way north, like 7 hours north of Stockholm, which is way north of Alaska. Okay, it's like up there. We're basically getting close to the North Pole, right? He went snowboarding, not skiing, he went snowboarding. Came home with a fractured rib, by the way, yay. But so I had a friend come over with her son to spend time with me and Leia in the last weekend. And we started really talking, like, she's an old friend, and we were really talking about what brings us joy and the direction we want to head in life. And we were talking about our definition of success and career. Like, we just had deep conversations about this kind of stuff. And she asked me, you know, what is it that you really want to do? Like, what is it really, if you close your eyes, like, what is it? What direction do you want your career to move in? Like, what do you want to do in your day to day? And I just looked at her and I went, I just want to garden. And she was like, what? And I'm like, no, I'm really serious. Like, when I do that exercise, or I close my eyes and I envision something. And of course, I could take this journey of envisioning a bunch of things to do, like for work or directions to take my career or whatever. But really all I can think of that I really want to do is I want to garden. And I have been really anchored in this longing for a long time now. I mean, for a long time now. It's been at least 2 years. Yeah, it's been 2 years since I like dove headfirst into connecting with the earth and into growing vegetables and like planting a garden for the first time in a real way. And it was this big awakening, and it hasn't left me yet, right? I have this vision of the life I want to live. And I feel like where we are in Sweden now, it was back in the fall when we were still looking for a place. We didn't know where to live. We didn't know where to do. We've been kind of in between homes or / homeless all year. I had this, I could close my eyes and I could just envision we're going to find a place like somewhere in the woods, close to a lake. Like, I would love to be close to the water if possible, but that wasn't the most important thing, as long as there was space for me to plant something. And I really want to have a big garden. And now I'm here, right? Like, we actually made this happen. I'm on the water. I'm in the woods. We are in this little cabin-esque house. And the time has come, right? Really, the time has come. Or so I think. For me to plant something, for me to actually get started. And I have felt all year so confused and just a little bit lost around, like, how do you plant things when it's January in Sweden? Like, how do you get started? What should I do first? Like, what order does things happen in? There's a whole schedule of stuff, right? Certain seeds have to be planted at an exact, more or less, moment to be the size you want them to be when it's time to plant them out in the actual garden. And different things take different lengths of time to sprout. And, you know, I kind of got into my head about the whole thing. And I was really sitting with that. Like, I'm here now. It's time for me to, like, get started. But because it's freaking snowing outside, it doesn't really come so easily for some reason. And I decided one day, instead of just researching this and Googling every day and, like, trying to do everything right, like, fuck it. I'm just gonna put a bunch of soil in a bunch of pots in the garage. Ben is so unhappy about this, by the way. In the garage, I'm just gonna throw a bunch of soil into a bunch of pots, and then I'm gonna throw a bunch of seeds at it. Like, that's it. Like, I'm gonna wing it. Okay. And wing it, I did. Which means, and I mean, this was a while ago, and I started by planting the things that I read needed the most time, right? The things that sprout really slowly. But I also didn't really get it. I was like, why would things sprout slower if I'm growing them indoors with, like, a growing lamp? That still doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I get that if I put a seed in cold soil outside when it's still, like, cold out, right? When it suddenly starts to snow, and, like, I get that that would take much, much, much longer. Like, seeds can lie dormant in soil waiting for the warmth and for the sun or for water or for nourishment for a super long time, for years, right? Depending on the seed and the conditions. So we know that, like, seeds can take a long time to sprout. But if I'm mimicking the same conditions that I had in Aruba-ish by, and I'm literally am, like, I have, you're gonna laugh at me, but I took up this space in the garage. And the garage is, like, a long-term thing between Dennis and I, because we have such limited space in the house. We literally only have, it's a two-bedroom house, you know? Like, it's a, not, I mean, no, it's a two-room house. How do I explain it? It's like one living room kitchen, and then we have these two tiny bedrooms next to each other, which neither of them has really enough space to, like, hang out and spend time. It's just where we go to sleep. Like, even Leia, she's spend such little time in her room these days, just because her room is really small and it's kind of far away from everything. So we're kind of cramped in here. We really are. And the garage became this conversation of, okay, what are we doing? And I knew I had an infrared sauna that I have been waiting for years. So I knew, like, okay, I need a corner for the infrared sauna. And I know I'm going to need a corner for pantry stuff. That's what I said in the beginning, because I didn't know that this was going to happen. I just knew we don't have any kitchen space. We have no storage at all in our kitchen. We don't have a pantry. And we are, like, a big food type family. Like, if it's something we always have an abundance of at the house, it's food and pantry items. And I just knew, like, and we're going to be foraging. We're going to be picking, like, crazy amounts of blueberries every year. Like, I know I'm going to need a freezer to put in the garage, and I'm going to need, like, a little pantry area where I can store, like, bulk items. I don't know. Does anybody else think this way? I do. I would much rather go to the store rarely and get an abundance of the things that I need, or get a bigger bag of the thing that I need and then just store it really well to not waste packaging and stuff like that. So that's what I said. I need a corner for pantry, and I'm like, basically pantry and kitchen stuff, like, that's not my area. That's family area, right? It's not, like, my personal area, except it kind of is my personal area. And then the sauna and the rest, it's like, yeah, it's going to be Dennis's, like, bike room / office /, like, home gym. It's a pretty sizable garage, or at least it felt that way before we moved in. So we're like, there's going to be no problem just to make space for everything we need here. What we forgot or failed to think about is the fact that there is no storage in the entire house. Like, there is no there's no little closet where you can put something or hide something away. There's no space to hide, right? So a great example is like snow season. You know, you have an abundance of like we have a toboggan and bunch of skates to go ice skating and, you know, extra winter jackets and things. And they literally don't fit in the house. We can only fit like by our little entrance. Like we've set a limit, 2 shoes per human, which is 2 shoes for Leia, 2 for Dennis, 2 for me, and 1 jacket each. Like that's what we can fit. If not, it just takes over the whole entrance because it's such a small, tiny little space. And everything else needs to live somewhere else. And where is somewhere else? Well, somewhere else is the garage, right? So it's just become this, like, if we don't know what to do with something because we haven't created the storage solution for it yet, or there's just no space and yet we have this thing. Yeah, like unfinished, like unassembled IKEA furniture. We have a couple of things that we decided like we didn't need, but we don't know what to do with them. Okay, well, they have to go in the garage, right? I'm a little sick, by the way, in case you can't hear by my voice. It's just become this, not a dumping ground, but just things end up in the garage, okay? With the idea that we're going to figure all of this stuff out and have like a seamless solution for everything in our lives. And the garage is like the middle, like halfway point for stuff. But then I realized I'm going to have to grow inside. I really thought I wasn't going to for some reason. I thought, it's just going to get warm and spring will come and I will plant. Like, what's the big deal? No. I got really stressed when all the accounts I follow in Sweden, all the gardener people and the gardening people, they're in January. Freaking, no, not even that. Like November, they are planting garlic. What? I wasn't even in Sweden. I'm like, I missed garlic season. Nothing I can do about that now. Because apparently I've never grown anything in a cold country, but you plant garlic before the frost, I guess. And then the next year they sprout. Like, I don't get it. This is like all Greek to me. So I missed that. And then January, everybody's growing fucking peppers and artichoke and like leeks and I don't know, a bunch of plants that apparently take freaking forever. Bell pepper. I don't know. I had no idea. And in Aruba, it didn't matter what seed I put in the earth. Literally did not matter. 2 days later, that seed would have sprouted. Like, with an exception of seeds that couldn't take the heat. So like, I could never grow lavender. Like, lavender needs some cold to sprout. I could never grow chamomile. I had a couple of, strawberries and like delicate things like that I could never grow. And so it's just, I tried, right? I tried everything. I even tried like I had lavender. I had tiny little pots, like soil and lavender I had in the freezer for a couple of nights because I heard like a lavender seed wants like a cold shock to activate. So I put them in the freezer. It didn't work. So aside from those things where it was just too warm, like everything else just sprouted right away. I literally would put seeds in a pot 2 days later, maybe 3 for some things. There's a little seedling there. I would water them for like a week and then I would put them in my garden bed. Like, that's it. And here I have a heating mat. It's like literally like a warm mat that you put your seedlings or seeds on top of. And then I have a growing lamp, which I'm still figuring out. I think I got one that's like a little too intense because as soon as something sprouts, it almost like singes the leaves. So I every day I refurnish, like I rearrange all the plants every day depending on who needs more light from what angle. Like, it's a full-time job to grow in the garage. It's really crazy. And in the garage, like, Dennis works in there. So it's warm. It's like indoor. I feel like the garage is a little warmer than our house even. So it's really warm. It's at least like 25, 26 degrees Celsius in there. It's like comfortable temperature. And I have heating lamps and I have heating mats and shit is not sprouting. Like, I have, and I don't know why. Like, my bell peppers, it's been 2 months. I think 3 out of like 40 sprouted. The other ones are just not doing it. And I'm learning, like, some seeds want a little bit of light, so you're not supposed to dig them too deep. Some seeds just sprout in the dark. And I've read about all of this. I've like rearranged everything and left it to rest, and it doesn't matter what I do. Some things just aren't sprouting. So I don't know if this is a Sweden thing. The seeds just know they're in Sweden and they're like, this is not the time for me. I don't care that I'm warm and cozy. I am not sprouting right now. But then other things, because I went a little rogue and I was like, fuck it, if I'm planting and I'm just doing my thing and I'm winging it, like, let's just go. I have planted everything. Okay, and then it got really warm like those couple weeks back and I got a little confident. I'm like, yeah, well, winter's over, let's do it. So I have planted strawberries, cucumbers, bell peppers, bunch of tomatoes. I've planted different kinds of beans, broccoli, watermelon, carrots, all kinds of lettuces and like kales and stuff like that, leeks, artichokes, eggplant. Oh my God, a bunch. There's no limit. Like there's no limit. I went crazy. And in the beginning, when I did this, it all felt very organized because I have these plug, it's like a tray, like a plug tray. It's called a plug tray. Or like a tray, basically, that you just put soil in, all of them, and each little plug is like a tiny thing, right? And then you water it so the soil is moist before you plant. This is like very important. I have learned with time. And then you plant one little seed in each place. And I had this whole bench in the garage just like very neatly lined up with tiny pots full of seed, full of soil, with one seed in each. And then I have my little growing lamp and I'm keeping it cozy. And I'm like, this is going to be fine. This is good. No, it is not good. Everything is growing at completely different rates, which obviously is how nature works. Like I put cucumber seeds in soil. Cucumber seeds sprout in one day. Like those motherfuckers just can't wait to get to the sun. So all of a sudden I have cucumbers going insane. They're going bananas. They're going totally berserk. And they want more, like they need light, but they can't be too close to the light because it's literally burning them because the light is really strong. And I don't have a light I can control. So I've had to like strategically continue to move the cucumbers. And then the cucumbers want to climb. Meanwhile, other things are just like tiny little like 1-inch seedlings. And they need something different. Everyone needs like different amounts of water. And then my tomato plants just went totally crazy. So as things are growing, I've had to get them out of their little pots, of course, because they're outgrowing them so quickly. And every day, every couple of days, something has to graduate to a bigger pot with more soil, with a different need, right? And I only have this one lamp. And now all of a sudden, what was this very neat little corner of the garage has taken over the whole, like you open the door to the garage and it's mayhem in there. It looks like crazy plant lady. Yeah, and obviously I have spilled soil on the floor and I continue doing that and I'm like watering everywhere and there's seed packets all over and it's like a little jungle of very varying ages of all kinds of plants. Like, and I have plants that don't want to be in pots anymore. They're like, fuck this, put me in the ground. Like I'm ready for the ground. Like my watermelons, broccoli, cucumbers, the beans, everything that grows quickly that I should not have put in the soil right now. I should have listened, obviously, to the people who live in Sweden who've been doing this for years and years and years and years. No, why didn't I listen? I decided I'm going to wing it. It's going to be fine. It is not fine. And the worst part is, or I guess not the worst part, but the challenging part is I actually ordered a greenhouse. It's a little one. Like I realized I'm going to need one because plants like cucumbers, for example, need a lot of heat. Like if you want to have actual cucumbers, they need heat. You need to grow them somewhere where it's safe and warm, like warm all the time, sustainably warm. And a couple of other things that I'm growing, like needs more heat. And I'm not planning to have some sort of indoor food growing business. Like I want my stuff outside. Like I want to have a normal garden and a normal life so that Dennis can have like a normal office. And then I ordered this greenhouse and it's a little one that we can lean from the out. It's like a leaning greenhouse that connects to the wall of the garage. So my plan was, okay, well, I'm going to order this. It said 3-day delivery. So, okay, 3-day delivery. And then I need to get like a handyman for sure to help me put this together because there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. Maybe I need some sort of foundation. Like that didn't occur to me, but I think I need to pour some concrete or something to insulate so it's warm from the ground up. And I'm like, okay, say I need 2 weeks
to get this greenhouse together. And by that time, like, my cucumbers will be ready to move into a more long-term place. Then I can have an actual garden bed in the greenhouse, and I can put a little heater in the greenhouse because it's connected to the garage. Like, I have thought this through, everyone. I really have. And then greenhouse hasn't arrived. It's been 2 months. It's been 2 months. There's no greenhouse, no sight, no greenhouse in sight.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So if you were to walk into, well, first of all, if you were to walk into the garage right now, you would be like, oh, this poor man, like this saint of a man that he's putting up with us. This is insane. The fact that I'm out there at least twice a day. I mean, literally, I'm out there maybe three times a day. I'm watering, I'm rearranging, I'm keeping really close tabs on, like, who's getting too much of this crazy lamp? Who needs more? Who needs more bottom heat? Why are these seeds not sprouting? Why are these plants going berserk and, like, going totally crazy? What needs bigger room? And if you open the door to our house and you step into our living room, I mean, it looks like a crazy person lives here, because all of these outdoor flowers that should never be inside, they're not indoor flowers, they don't want to be inside, are now inside because I ropa de hej, like I yelled hey before I had crossed the river, and now I'm drowning in plants. And I had to put my cucumbers like to climb. So I had to replant them in a big thing with like a net so that they can climb up something. And my beans like to climb, and they are like, we're gonna be eating fucking beans and sugar snap peas before it stops snowing. I kid you not. Like, this it's just madness over here. And I'm looking out the window right now, and it's actually just dumping. Like, it's just snowing. There is no end in sight. And I was really confident on social media. I was like, just do your thing. Everyone worried about gardening and planting stuff, just wing it. Don't listen to me, okay? Anyone who takes advice from me, don't. I mean, yeah, obviously you should take advice from me, because I give great advice all the time. That's why you're listening to this show. No, but seriously, maybe probably don't. I don't know. I am a firm believer of winging it. Like, I really am, because obviously it's a great way to learn, right? Next year I will have a different kind of plan, right? It's just kind of a complicated way to learning, I guess. And knowing I'm going to have to wait an entire year before I get to do this again is kind of a trip, right? Isn't it? I think what happens once you have integrated with the seasons, which I am still doing, and you've figured out the cycles and, you know, patience, ever heard of that? I obviously haven't. You figure things out, right? And I think there is a way, or I know there is a way to, you know, my actual, like, long-term dream is to have a really big greenhouse. And that's never going to happen here where we are now. We know this property we're on now, it's not like our forever home. We might be here 1 or 2 or 3 years. Like, I don't know. We're very comfortable here now. It's so beautiful. But we are eventually going to need a bigger house, right? And especially if I want to be completely self-sustaining and self-sufficient, we're going to need more space and more land. So we are, like, quietly on the side of things, just keeping an eye out for anything that opens up. Meanwhile, we are very rooted here and very grounded here and very, very happy here. It's not like we're thinking of, like, the next place to move. But say, like, 3 years from now, at least, I think so, we're going to want to have, the long, long-term plan. Long, long-term place. Like, the 10, 20, 30, 40-year place. Like, that's what I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking more like farmland. That's where my head is at. And I think when you have the space and you're able to really set something up for this long-term permanent situation,
I would love to have a huge greenhouse. Like I would love to have a greenhouse that's at least like 50 or 60 square meters big, like a really big one. Where you can have a little living room corner. You could have a little wood fire stove in there. It becomes like an extension of the home, right? And you heat it so that it's always like, so it's always warm all year round. And that means you can grow tomatoes, you can grow figs, you can grow lemons, you can grow peaches. Like you can grow things that you can't grow outside seasonally. And you have some sort of supply of like vegetables or fruits that you enjoy even when it's off season. Right, like that is my something that I would love. And then obviously you have this setup to actually grow things if it's heated so you can continue or start growing like at the right time without it taking over your home or your garage, you know. But then of course you learn like how to really live and grow seasonally. At what time do you plant out what? Like how did it work last year? What's been going well? What hasn't been going well? It's just something that you have to kind of go through the trial and error to figure out. And I'm definitely on the error side of things right now. And also, I know that just knowing how quickly it went from being really warm and sunny to crazy cold and snowing again, that there's going to be a turn in the weather, maybe not the next turn, but maybe the turn after that, where the sun comes out and the sun is here to stay, right? And it actually becomes spring, where like the snow doesn't come back for a long time. And then I think like the truly joyful part of basically fulfilling and living out this dream that I've had for so many years of being able to actually cultivate and create and plant a whole vegetable garden. And I can't really do anything about that right now. You know, it's so cold. I can't dig into the earth. I've kind of started planning out where I want to place garden beds, where I want to grow directly into the soil. I want to move some things around. Like there's an orchard here with apple trees and lots and lots and lots of fruits and berry bushes and things like that. And they're all kind of enclosed with this fence so that the deer doesn't eat all the fruits. And I kind of have this plan of I want to open up one of those enclosures so that it actually connects to our house. So it means maybe I can plant the garden in this deer safe location that's still connects to our home. So I don't love the idea of having an enclosed garden that you have to like open a fence to step into, you know, but I know a lot of people do that here because of deer and all those kinds of things. And here we have this, apparently I haven't experienced them yet, but people talk about them all the time. There are these rodents here, field mice, and I think gophers and just animals that live underground, and they dig these tunnels and they like to eat the roots of trees. And apparently they kill off like a lot of apple trees and things like that. So that's why I'm thinking garden beds, and I'm going to seal the bottom with a netting. That's what people do if you have elevated garden beds here. So anyway, I'm getting detailed, but I have all of this kind of in my head, and I'm envisioning this moment where I'll actually be out there, like where I'm barefoot outside. And Leia is like running around barefoot with me with her little watering can and dirt on her face. And we're actually planting and harvesting and kind of going through the motions of actually being there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This week we were sick this week, or I'm still stuffy, and all of us in the family still have kind of a cough. It's a little bit better every day. But I really contemplated that this week of how challenging, really, when you have a dream of something that you want to live out, my tendency to continue to jump in my head to the next step, right? It's extra hard to not do that right now when I'm really wanting spring to come. I'm like, I'm so ready. To actually appreciate and be as present as we possibly can in this season we are in now. And I'm sitting with that and my kind of challenges around that, because it's almost like, you know, when winter was offering like abundance of wintry stuff, and it kind of fits my idea of what I want and what I like. And then I was so appreciating it and so totally, just overwhelmed with gratitude and having so much fun. And then it's kind of like I reached a point now in the past week where I'm like, okay, well, I'm done. And I start to really focus on spring, and I start planning out all the things that are going to happen. And there is this limit, I think, or there's this balance between dreaming about the next phase of your dream, which for me in this case is spring actually arriving and like walking barefoot in the grass, and then losing your ability to be totally present and appreciate what is happening and unfolding now, right? And I know I'm going to look back at this little season here of like the madness of planting in the garage and figuring things out, like that beginner's mind. Like I'm going to look back at this time and be like, wow, how beautiful that was. It was so beautiful. And waking up every day to like a surprise outside of the window. And literally Leia and Dennis went tobogganing yesterday. I kid you not. I didn't want them to go because she has a cough. She was coughing so bad afterwards too. But there was so much snow. It was like that middle of winter. You know, they were tobogganing down the hill, having such a fun time. And it's like, I'm going to look back at these weeks and go, oh, how precious, how beautiful. And I'm also going to become the kind of Swede who's like, well, that's April. You know, you start expecting it and you start appreciating it in a different way. And I think my lesson in all of this, I guess, is to be more like a plant, right? To remain really rooted where I am while I stretch my branches and open up my leaves and kind of blossom in the direction of where I'm going. And I ask to have my needs met. And where do I need nourishment? And where do I need sunlight? And where do I need joy? And where do I need rest? And what do I need and when do I need it? And can I stay so rooted in myself and in that present moment that I can actually hold the dream or the next phase of the dream in one hand, but stay totally present here with my whole body? And even just talking about this now, it's like, it's kind of amazing, truly, to be here. I think I'm going to have one of those full circle moments coming up now at the end of April. We came to Sweden last year. I took Leia to escape the mold hell that we were going through in Aruba. We landed, I think, April 28th. I think we flew on the 27th and we landed on April 28th. And that's coming up in like 2 weeks. And I got to have this awakening of the beauty of Sweden and walking through the forest alone with my daughter for the first time in our lives, and swimming in cold water for the first time in years. And it was right at that time when, like, I think we landed last year and spring was just arriving. Like, it was still really cold outside, but it didn't go back to snow and craziness. You know, it was just slowly thawing and spring was happening. That was the last, literally, like the very last days of April and beginning of May. So it's going to be, it already is. It's a trip to 1 year later be here, actually getting to live out this life that I have longed for in my bones for so, 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 so long. And it's a blessing to get to figure it all out along the way, right? To not have all the answers, to not have everything figured out, but to make mistakes and to make a mess and and just go for the thing that we want to do. I actually, this is so funny. I had this idea of what I would talk about today on the show. Like, I had a week of being sick and I had a lot of epiphanies about illness, and I really rested this week. I felt like, oh, I'm going to just talk about the beauty of rest and letting your body be. And instead, I just spoke about plants. I love it. This is my favorite podcast. I love you. Thank you for listening and for being here with me. And if you have any plant journeys or plant stories you want to share with me, please DM me on Instagram or email me, because I want to hear them. I hope you are taking care of yourself and your plant babies if you have them already, and that you are appreciating and enjoying the season you are in. Thank you for being here. I'll be right back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy this show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. And of course, a big warm thank you to all of my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.